At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It is Friday. Got to get down on Friday, March 28th of 2025. We are out in Katy at Typhoon, Texas for the Wild, Wild Brew Fest. You can get tickets right now at wildwestbrewfest.com. Tonight, the opening party starts at 7 o'clock, but we're here already. There's going to be 80 breweries, more than 500 beers, and live music. A little cloudy outside. Maybe you're not going to be going on all the slides here at Typhoon, Texas. But you can get all sorts of beer, all sorts of food, hear all sorts of music. You can get those tickets, again, at wildwestbrewfest.com and can pre-purchase drink tickets. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. That means you can ask me any question. I'll work it into the show. You know how to do it. Voice guy told you. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. We'll have a camera up and running from your boy out here at Typhoon, Texas in a matter of minutes. Astros opening day was yesterday. Great success. They won 3-1, and they're going 162-0. If you think otherwise, you're a stupid idiot who doesn't know ball. You heard it here first. I am the smartest baseball man alive, and I did predict that yesterday. Astros 162-0, perfect in the playoffs, World Series victory, Yordan Alvarez MVP, Cam Smith Rookie of the Year, Hunter Brown Cy Young. Yes, we parlayed it together, and I can't do the math off the top of my head, but if you beat the Mets 3-1, clearly the remaining 161 games are going to go in the exact same manner. But if we're on a serious note here, you take a look at the opening day of the baseball season. We finally have something to react to instead of talking about projections and predictions. Blah, 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 blah. I have a couple of questions after the first game of the year. And the first question is, after a game in which Framber Valdez, after a shaky first inning, settled down and threw 7 innings, overreaction or correct take, the Astros should have talked to Framber Valdez this offseason. If he's putting together an offseason like that, a first game like that, and is looking the way that he did against a Mets lineup that at the very least is expensive over the course of the year, you know what? Hell yeah. Hell to the yeah for Framber in 2025. But should they have at least tried to open up conversations with him? At this point, if Framber Valdez has a start like this, and you didn't talk to him at all this offseason going into the last year of his contract, how do you think he's going to feel if you ever do eventually initiate conversations? How is that going to go down? So that's the first question I have. Overreaction or correct take? The Astros should have talked to Framber this offseason, even if they're not necessarily going to bring him back. Whatever the case, he seemed to be having himself a good old time on the hill there yesterday. Are the new additions for the Astros already a success? Overreaction or the correct take? Isak Paredes, who hit second, was 0-for-3 with a walk and a run, but he drew 23 pitches. There was a really interesting comment made by Jeff Blum in the middle of yesterday's broadcast on Space City Home Network about the amount of pitches that the Astros saw in 2024. And per Blummer, the Astros saw 1,460 less pitches than they did the year before, which is an insane amount. So when you have a guy like Isak Paredes, who is fantastic at just forcing long at-bats, fouling balls off, and on top of that, drawing walks, to have a guy like that in the two spot who's forcing 23 pitches over the course of a game where he's not even getting that many at-bats, that's, I think, a really good sign, especially considering the Astros have been saying we're going to be a lot more patient at the plate this year. So is Isak Paredes, who didn't even have a hit yesterday but did score a run, 0-for-3 with a walk, is he already a successful signing? Is Christian Walker already a success? He was 1-for-4 with a run, but he was smashing the ball. Exit velocity of 100-plus, I think, on all of the balls that he made contact with that were put in play. And that's another guy who works counts. And, look, you need to have somebody behind Jordan Alvarez who was going to protect Jordan from being walked. He was walked twice yesterday, 0-for-2 with two walks, Jordan was. So you got to have someone in front of Jordan that's going to, first off, just see a lot of pitches so that Jordan gets to see those from the on-deck circle. And on top of that, somebody who can potentially get on base so that walking Jordan's a little bit more difficult. And then someone behind him who's at the very least going to also create long at-bats, if not actually put the ball in play. Walker did it in a very hard manner. And get this, Cam Smith, he at least got his first major league hit. Popped his hidden cherry. So, you think about all that. Are the newest Houston Astros already a success? Is that an overreaction? Or after one day, are you saying that, yes, already it's a success? I'm not going to go quite so far, but I did like what I saw out of them yesterday, even though it was a rather low-scoring game from the Astros. The bullpen. Are we going to be stressed out by it all year? Overreaction or the correct take? I feel like it's the correct take. But here's the thing. No one ever feels good about their bullpen, so you always got to take those first performances with a grain of salt. Still, okay, Frommer goes 7 innings. You're feeling good. Maybe Brian Abreu and Josh Hader are going to get through things very quickly. Brian Abreu got 2 quick outs, and then he walked 3 guys in a row. Don't do that, please. As my godson often says to me, don't do that, Uncle Paul. Don't do that, Brian Abreu, please. Please don't. Josh Hader, same thing. Are we ever going to feel comfortable with him on the hill? I mean, you're paying him a lot of money, and that 9th inning was rather messy. I mean, yeah, he did eventually strike out Juan Soto, but I think if Juan Soto could go back in time, he would look at himself in the mirror and say, damn, that was one of the stupidest swings that I've put together in my career. That was a horrible, horrible swing. Ball was nowhere close to him. Come on. What are you doing, Juan? Mr. $700 million man. So Soto strikes out in that at-bat. The Chronicle put together an article about said at-bat. Okay, I mean, they got out Juan Soto in a bases-loaded situation still, though. I mean, it was pretty stressful just getting to Juan Soto in that spot because Josh Hader played with his food despite making nearly $20 million a year and being on the books for it 4 more years. So is the bullpen going to be something we're stressed about year? Overreaction or correct take after just one game? I think it's the correct take because those are your top two guys, and both Brian Abreu and Josh Hader in that first inning, I mean, they really had to work just to get a couple of outs. How are the other guys going to look? Don't forget, Rafael Montero is back. There's some other guys in there that I'm not feeling great about either. I mean, we're looking at Caleb Ort and thinking to ourselves, this guy's going to figure it out this year. Like, lots of things to wonder about. And then one last one. Overreaction or the correct take? We like left fielder / ball taker Jose Altuve. Altuve was actually patient at the plate yesterday. Did you notice that? It was kind of weird. Sure, the at-bat where he got a hit, he swung at the first 2 pitches and he put the second ball in play. And he also went 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. His other 3 at-bats, he took the first 2 pitches in at-bat number 1, at-bat number 2, and he took the first 3 in his 4th at-bat. He struck out in all three of those at-bats, but I thought he was noticeably more patient at the plate. I wonder if that last, again, the Astros have been saying this year we are going to be more patient at the plate. We are going to draw more pitches. And Altuve was patient, but the one at-bat he got a hit in was the one where he was vintage Jose Altuve. The other three at-bats where he was patient, he struck out all three times. So I am curious if that lasts, but he was Jose, or more like Jose Take Altuve, in his first game. Oh, damn, that's why they pay you the big bucks, Paul, isn't it? Yes, that's correct, random person that I've created in my mind having a conversation with me. Yes, that is why they pay me the big bucks. It was an incredible transition. Defensively, he actually did all right. Now, is he obeying the law? Is he following the rules of outfield protocol? Because there was a moment in the first inning where he caught the third out. Fromber got himself in a jam where both he and Jake Myers nearly collided. Jake Myers called him off. He's the center fielder. He is supposed to call him off if he feels okay. Myers did say that every now and then you're going to have a left fielder that runs in front of you on a ball, that even if you call him off. Altuve called him off, and he said, "It was mine. I wanted it," after the game. And Jake said it was fun to work with Altuve in left field. But Altuve, he didn't screw that one up. He had two more putouts, one with a pop-up where he called off Jeremy Pena, and he seemed very pumped about the ability to call off Jeremy Pena. He had another ball lined to him in the second inning, and he fielded three singles, and he didn't biff any of them. So he had six moments where Jose Altuve in left field had to work, and, I mean, six for six. He didn't screw up. Are we feeling better about Jose Altuve in left field after one game, or is that an overreaction? You want to chime in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you know how to do it on an Ask a Lot Anything Friday. We'll work some of your questions in. 713-780-3776 is how you call or text on the HRNP listener line. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN975. You got any thoughts on all of those overreactions or correct takes from segment one? And just to go through them one more time, Altuve in left field, great success. Bullpen, as stressful as it was with Ryan Stresley, new additions on offense, already a success. And was it a mistake to not talk to Fromber this offseason? All of those on the table. We are at Typhoon, Texas. You want to come out and hang out? We got a fantastic event coming up. Brewfest, yes. Yes, it's going to be such a good time. So make sure that you guys go online and get yourself some tickets, you know? Come on now. What are you doing? It's the Wild West Brewfest all weekend long, thanks to the Rotary Club of Katy. Up next, our beloved Cougs are back in action tonight in the NCAA tournament. And we take a look at what Texas Tech did and what was finally a good NCAA game. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show, live at Typhoon, Texas, for Wild West Brewfest. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, live at the Wild West Brewfest here at Typhoon, Texas, in Katy. Everything's getting started tonight for the opening party at 7 o'clock, but come on by. There's going to be so many beers, over 500. There's going to be 80 breweries here, live music, and you can pre-purchase drink tickets online. You just got to go to wildwestbrewfest.com. Again, that's wildwestbrewfest.com. We have a couple of texts in the last segment. Overreactions or the correct take after Astros opening day? Let's get through some of these. And we also have some Ask Alan Anything questions to get to. From the 409, F Josh Hader and his $20 million self. Hey, I'm not going to go that far. I will say that the Haterade drink, from what I understand from bartenders at Minute Maid Park, if they're still selling it, bartenders think it's garbage. And it was, I want to say, about $30 or so in the playoffs. Maybe they don't even sell it at all. I'd rather pay, and I'm guessing that inflation has driven the prices up, but I'd rather pay, I'm guessing this year, and you guys can tell me if it was different, that El Tiempo margaritas are going to be $20. I will say, though, those El Tiempo margaritas, I mean, bang for your buck at a baseball stadium, you're always getting hosed a little bit. That's a pretty good bang for your buck. From the 281, I like Rodgers at second base. Should make him the starter if Altuve remains in left field. That was the interesting dynamic going into yesterday's game. You had Joe Espada saying that, yes, even though Altuve is, or excuse me, even though Rodgers was at second base yesterday, Rodgers is not the starting second baseman, which is bizarre. From the 713, it's a $16.99 LT margarita. Okay, you know what? I think they might have actually lowered the price a little bit. How about that? That's quacktastic. Anyway, guys, we got our beloved Cougs back in action tonight in the hellhole known as Indianapolis. They're playing at Lucas Oil Field because apparently Indianapolis can't afford a basketball arena, right? Like, isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, you would think that they would play this game in the Pacers arena, right? Cougars, Purdue. And I'm looking this up off the top of my head just to be sure, because I don't know, it makes a lot more sense to play games like this in an actual basketball arena. It always screws up players who are shooting from outside when you've got that added depth where there's no basically like row of stands that's right behind the base, right underneath the hoop and right behind the baseball line. But yeah, it's going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium tonight. I would say if you are a gambling person and you look at the over-under, even though the Cougs have been really good at shooting, just a thought with the over-under at 132.5, I might take the under just because I think it's difficult to play in a football stadium. And especially if both of these teams are playing in a football stadium probably for the first time all year, I would definitely look at the under. As far as the actual game itself, obviously the Cougs are going to win by what's the over-under? The over-under is 132.5. So obviously the Cougs are going to win 130-2, but definitely take the under because they're going to stretch that under. But, I mean, that's how the final score is going to go, much like our Astros are going to go 162-0. Yesterday we finally did get a good NCAA tournament game. If you stayed up late, you would have seen Texas Tech and Arkansas, which nearly lapped that forever game between Duke and Arizona. Duke-Arizona took forever. I feel like that game tipped off, what, like 20, 30 minutes before Tech and Arkansas? And Tech-Arkansas was almost done, but it went to overtime before Duke and Arizona was done. Duke and Arizona, you watch that game. I mean, Duke looks really good. The refs were rather favorable towards Duke. I'm not going to bitch and moan about the refs all game long. Cooper Flagg is awesome. He's just really good. They're going to be a tough out, but everyone knew this about Duke. There's a reason everyone's picking Duke to win the NCAA tournament this year. There's the name brand side of things, even with Coach K gone. And on top of that, you have probably the best player in all of college basketball in Cooper Flagg. So that game took forever. Duke won. It was at least semi-close for a while. Tech Arkansas, though, was flippin' awesome. Yeah, I said flippin'. This is a family program, guys. But that game was really good because Tech dug deep. Toughest team wins. Down 16 against John Calipari's Arkansas. And hey, listen, you can dump on John Calipari and Arkansas all you want because this was a bit of a choke job by them. But they were a 10 seed. You're going up against a Texas Tech team that has been damn good under all the coaches that they've had over the last half decade. And they kept on doing what they normally do. And down the stretch, you know what I thought was the best moment of this game? Not in overtime, the close to buzzer beater. The Darian Williams three-point shot to send this game to overtime. Did you see him throw up the Mario Elie kiss of death right after he did it? I mean, the balls on that guy, because he was terrible for a while. Like, one of the reasons that Texas Tech was struggling so much early was because no one on Tech could shoot worth a damn. And Darian Williams was struggling more than perhaps anybody, B-Mac.
He seemed to wake up when, I don't know if you noticed, but the opposing players started talking trash to him at one point.
Ah, there you go.
And Dell broke it down. Like, someone broke down, like, the before and after, and his heater was exactly when someone did, like, the tap on the head, like, dunk on him, thing to him, got in his face. And after that, I mean, I came. I know I wasn't alone, but when he jacked up that three to tie it, in the, I mean, who thought that was
going in? I thought he was missing that for sure. With how he had been shooting, I thought there's no way that's going in. That was a very tough shot. I mean, he was, what, like two, three steps back from the three-point line?
I wouldn't say it was super contested.
It was open, but it was deep.
Open, but the defender was only like a step back.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could definitely argue the defender should have been obviously on top of him instead of a step back, but it was still a difficult shot.
For sure. And to see him hit that and then throw up a kiss of death, I thought it was really cool. I like that a lot. So I'm glad that we finally got a good tournament game. As far as the games tonight, obviously the Cougs, the last game that plays, 9:09, 8.5-point favorite with an over-under of 132.5 against the 4-seed Boilermakers. If you're just tuning in, I said earlier in the segment, I would take the under in this game because they're playing in a basketball. They're playing in a football.
I hate games of football stadiums.
I do too, man. It just doesn't work.
No, I mean, was at the. I guess it was the 2011 Final Four, the VCU Butler.
Was that an NRG?
Yeah, it was an NRG, and both teams. I mean, both in the Final Four and then in the championship game, which was UConn over Butler. I mean, teams are shooting 30% in every game. It was terrible.
It takes some getting used to, and you know, especially when, you know, juxtaposition with what happened last night where Alabama was going Boston Celtics, shooting 53s, and they made half of them.
Sears was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was insane. Like, I imagine that tonight's game between the Cougs and Boilermakers is probably going to be a rather low-scoring game. The other games today, in case you are going to be watching all of them, they start at 6 o'clock, so you can watch them. And then the Astros are playing 7 o'clock on Apple TV. Oh, God, the Apple TV thing. Do I have to subscribe to Apple TV again? I guess I'll at least watch Severance if I subscribe to Apple TV. I've yet to actually watch a full episode of Severance. I watched it for a little bit, and I just wasn't that into it. That does not mean I don't like the show. I really just
You're going to tick off some people.
What?
So you're going to tick off some people.
Yeah, I know. I heard a lot of people love the show, and it's kind of getting insufferable with how much people love it. But at the same time, that probably means it's a good show. I'll just be honest. I haven't watched it yet. I do like Adam Scott, so I'll probably watch it at some point. But Apple TV, you got to subscribe, I guess, to watch the Astros game tonight. But the other games, you got Ole Miss and Michigan State at 6:09. I heard Tom Izzo bitching and moaning about something else yesterday. He's in cantankerous mode. I feel like that's a good omen for the Spartans going far in the tournament. You got Kentucky and Tennessee playing each other. That's an interesting one. What is this, the Cannibal Bowl? The Cannibal Bowl? the We Eat Squirrel Bowl?
The Banjo Bowl?
Yeah, the Banjo Bowl. The Deliverance Bowl. I mean, my God, like, just talk about, like,
Hillbilly Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, BMAC, you nailed it with that last one. The Hillbilly Classic at 6:39, and then you got Michigan and Auburn at 8:39. I do think Auburn's a little overrated, so a Michigan upset there would not really stun me. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We will get to some of your Ask Gallant Anything questions. Bear with me. We are organizing some things here out at Typhoon, Texas, for the Wild West Brew Fest. Go to wildwestbrewfest.com. to purchase yourself some tickets if you're out in the Katy area, or just look for something fun to do tonight. Seems like it's going to be a very fun time. There's even a silent auction here, all sorts of very cool stuff that's being unloaded. There's a Wheel of Fortune machine to the right, like Wheel of Fortune old school arcade machine. It's a little loud, but you know what? It looks pretty cool. It certainly looks pretty cool. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, speaking of the Hillbilly Bowl, between Tennessee and Kentucky, the Tennessee Titans just can't put the city of Houston out of their minds. You'll find out the latest example of this petty bunch of whining losers getting their panties in a wad over our fine city next. Stay put, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, you can at 713-780-3776 on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We got a lot of questions being asked. We're going to get there. I've been working with some technical difficulties right now to get the camera up and running on YouTube and on Twitch. My computer's being a piece of junk. Junk, he said. holding back his true thoughts because he wants to throw this computer at a wall and smash it into little bits like it's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like I've been handed some bone clubs, some bone tools, so I can just destroy this absolute piece of junk that I spent over a grand on. I hope it dies in a fire, much like all the oak trees in Houston. Anyway, hey, Paul. Paul, you have a radio show to do. We can talk about our beloved Astros, who are about to go 162-0. We can talk about our beloved Cougs, who are about to beat Purdue 130-2 tonight. The over-under of that game is 132.5, and I say take the under because they're playing in a football stadium for some reason, because Indianapolis is a godforsaken hellhole, and that's the only place I guess they can play their basketball games in. God forbid the Pacers, who no one cares about, gets moved into another arena. Anyway, Paul, you sound so pissy right now. Yes. And I think I might be showing some of the same energy as the Tennessee Titans, who are the most petty, sad organization in the National Football League. I don't think the Titans ever have a concrete clue about what they are doing unless they are doing something to go out of their way and piss off the city of Houston. That is what has always guided them. Always. Every decision this franchise has ever made since leaving for Nashville, there's always been in the back of their mind, hey, how can we bone Houston? So this is the most recent example of this. Yesterday morning, the Titans announced Titans Blue as their primary home jersey color starting in 2025. Why are they doing it? It's entirely because this year, the Houston Texans, as an accent color, added H-Town Blue. And then, in the last two seasons, the Tennessee Titans, wearing Tennessee Oilers uniforms, played the Texans while wearing those Tennessee Oilers uniforms, and they lost not only to Case Keenum, the Texans' third-string quarterback at the time. This past year, they lost to Davis Mills in a game that the Texans didn't even try in. So they have lost twice in two attempts while wearing the old, actually Houston Oilers uniforms against the Texans. So they announced that they're going to be wearing Titans blue as their primary home jersey color starting this year, which they always should have done. Like, you have this very unique color, and for whatever reason, when the Titans redesigned their uniforms to look a lot worse than the ones that they brought to the table in 1999, where they actually made it to a Super Bowl instead of being a one seed in the AFC like they had the last three times of being one and done while one seed. They decided to change their uniforms up. They have this like weird sword as a stripe on their helmet, and they made navy blue their primary color, which is crazy because like the entire NFL has navy blue as a primary color. Texans, Patriots, and there's other teams as well off the top that you can go through the list. The Seahawks. There's tons of teams that have navy blue as a primary color, and these dumbasses decided, oh, we're going to go navy blue too. It's going to look good. The uniforms look like trash, and now all of a sudden, because Houston is deciding to wear H-Town blue accents, not even a full color. Like, you have some of the outlines of their numbers are this light blue. They feel super, super paranoid and petty, and they have decided to now call the Columbia blue, which is what that color was, Titans blue. It's going to be their primary uniform for this coming season. But get this, these losers are too scared to actually wear the Oilers uniforms this year. In Thursday's news release, the Titans revealed they will not wear the Oilers throwbacks in 2025. So literally the one piece of intellectual property that they own that actually sets them apart from the rest of the NFL, the one piece, they're not even going to wear it this coming season. But Titans blue is their primary color. It's been one constant for the organization since 1960, the first days of the Houston Oilers. Well, why not call it Oilers Blue? Because it's the Oilers. It's Titans Blue now. No one is ever going to catch on with this. No one. And they're doing it, they're calling it this entirely because the Texans have called it H-Town Blue. Yes, this is a really stupid story, but I feel like the Adams family, whenever you can call them out, they need to be called out. Brooks Kabina put together an article for The Athletic about the Oilers uniforms, and it talked about the back and forth between the Titans and Texans the last couple of years, about the H-Town Blue, the Oilers throwbacks, et cetera, et cetera. But I had never heard this story before, and this story is something else. This has to do with dead as a doornail Bud Adams, who apparently forced the Titans and Jeff Fisher to draft Vince Young. This is the reason. I thought for sure it would have been, oh, well, listen, Vince Young, he just won the national title against Texas. Why not draft the quarterback who just won the national title, who's mobile, who's exciting, all that stuff. But get this. In 2006, within a few weeks of the NFL draft, Jeff Fisher and whoever the Titans GM was at the time were prepared to spend the number 3 overall pick on Jay Cutler. I mean, that's a pander move to get the people of Tennessee behind you. The guy was playing at Vanderbilt at the time. Quarterback for nearby Vanderbilt, who Jeff Fisher had coached in the Senior Bowl. But Jeff Fisher said Bud Adams instructed the Titans to take Vince Young, a Houston native who just quarterbacked UT, to a title, even if it took trading up to get him. Titans executives and coaches heard Adams had seen Houston Mayor Bob Lanier's wife, Elise Lanier, advocating for the Texans to draft Young on a Houston area talk show. She hyperbolized that if they didn't, she'd jump off a bridge. Adams let loose a comment with his directive to snag Young about this. So Jeff Fisher heard from Bud Adams that he wanted this to happen so that the wife of the mayor of Houston would kill herself. Here's the actual quote from Jeff Fisher. He wanted to see her jump, end quote. That is such insane, psychotic, petty behavior, and I kind of respect it to a degree because I'm a petty person, but this is just proof. This is all, BMAC, that the Titans have ever done their whole history. Every decision they've ever made, from drafting Vince Young to this new thing that they're doing where they're going to call the uniforms Titans Blue, it's always done with Houston in mind.
Yeah, I had always heard that Jeff Fisher didn't want Vince Young, didn't like Vince Young, and that was part of why that whole thing fell apart. And there's obviously Vince shares a lot of the blame for that as well, but I hadn't heard that aspect of it, that it was directly because of Bob Lanier's wife and what she had said on a radio station. That is crazy. But you're right, there's a lot of little brother syndrome going on with the Titans, which is weird because they're the franchise that's been around since the 60s, and the Texans have been around for, 23 years.
Yeah.
And yet, I mean, it's led them to some really irrational decisions. Namely, I mean, most recently, your Patriots now have Mike Vrabel in part because the Titans got mad that they lost to Case Keenum while he's wearing the Bum Phillips hat.
That was part of it. But you know what, BMAC, if we're going back towards the pettiness of the Titans, one of the main reasons they also moved on from Vrabel was because they were upset that Mike Vrabel, God forbid, the Patriots honor him at halftime during a game where a week where the Titans had a game off. So Mike Vrabel comes there and he makes some comments talking about how the Patriots are the best organization ever. And at the time, guess what? They were. They won 6 Super Bowls in 20 years. So, I mean, like, if the Titans are upset about that, I don't know, stop losing, as the one seed when you make the playoffs. But that was another one of the reasons. It's not just what you said, right, where BMAC, like, they're forcing Mike Vrabel to wear a cowboy hat. Mike Vrabel's from the Midwest does not strike me as somebody who would wear a cowboy
He's
hat.
He's an Ohio State guy.
Without his arm being twisted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I, as a carpetbagger who moved from the North to the South, I have fully embraced Texas culture. And, yeah, I wear a cowboy hat from time to time. Some people call it stolen valor. I get it. But I like to think of myself as a Texan more than anything else now, because I've been living here for almost, the majority of my life. One more year and I will have lived here longer than anywhere else that I've lived in the course of my life, which is Boston and Florida and Seattle and Syracuse, New York. So I look at it and I'm like, I'd put the cowboy hat on. Mike Vrabel wasn't going to put that cowboy hat on.
No.
She tried to make him look like Bud, Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
Right. She tried to make him cosplay as a guy who's been dead for a while. And, I mean, it's just weird how the Titans operate. And this is the most recent example of it. It's not surprising, but just when you think that this organization can't get more petty, they say, we're going to have our own version of light blue, but it's not Oilers blue anymore. It's not Columbia blue. It's Titans blue. P.S. We're not going to wear the Oilers uniforms again this year, even though people really like them, and it's probably the one thing that people buy a lot of, because there's a lot of people in Texas that like the Houston Oilers uniforms and buy them. They'll buy their Earl Campbell jerseys, or they buy the Warren Moon jerseys, because those are the only time that people actually wore those jerseys, except for the 2 times where Derrick Henry wore them. Oh, wait, he only wore it once, because we let him walk, because we're a bunch of fools. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5-92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. We are live here at Typhoon, Texas, for a really fun event, the Wild West Brew Fest. Come out, hang out, we'll have ourselves a wonderful time. Keith, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't pick up the phone call. Keith had called in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It is also an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Working on getting the camera working on this live stream so you can actually see my beautiful face. I look so hot today. Got a haircut and everything. Hell yeah. We're going for a mullet right now. Going for a mullet. Eventually it's going to happen. Trust me, it's the process.
Yeah, you're serious right now. This is not a slash that situation.
We're at least going to get the little curly thingies in the background and like have like a little half-ass mullet or something like that.
So like how mullet are you going? Are you going full Mike Gundy or is this somewhere in between? Is this Quinn Ewers? What is this looking like?
Well, it's not going to be as voluminous. It's more I just want the like hair to like stick out in the back.
Okay.
Like the little
bit,
but I don't want it to like be like an absolute like mountain.
A little party in the back, but not overdone.
A little party in the back. Okay. More like a hockey party in the back than a mullet party.
More Yammer Yager.
Yeah. There we go. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brew Fest in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant.
Opening day win 3-1 yesterday over the Mets tonight at what some are calling the Icebox. Someone on the text line called it the igloo. I kind of like the igloo more than I like the icebox. But I had an accidental slip up on Fox 26 yesterday morning where I called it Enron Field. And honestly, it'll always be, to a degree, Enron Field. Honestly, I feel like, listen, obviously Enron did a lot of horrible things to a lot of people in our community. And, you know, there's no statute of limitations on what that did to so many people. But at the same time, if the Astros are villains playing in a place like Enron Field, it's kind of, like, on brand. That's always been my take. But I see some people saying on the text line they're going to be going to the igloo tonight. Another texter from the 832. I cussed out Bud Adams walking out of the Astrodome in the 90s. He just looked scared with cops around him laughing. We were feet apart. Damn, those cops throwing Bud under the bus. I'm assuming that this took place during the point in time where everyone knew that the Oilers were gone. Man, no one did anything. The Popo just stood by idly as you heckled him.
Feels like that text is saying the cops were kind of willing to let something happen.
Yeah, might have been, B-Mac. I mean, I know that Bud in the past, when he's been on the field level of a stadium, has flipped off fans before.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen that. That was
in the
Buffalo,
press box,
right?
Too. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. The best Bud Adams story I ever heard was apparently Bud Adams was on a private jet once, and there was some turbulence, and he fell out of the bathroom.
Like off the toilet?
Yeah, his butt ass naked. Just fell. That's something I heard through the grapevine.
Good for him.
That was here there flying around. Whoops.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
I mean, listen, that would suck. That would suck even for someone like Bud Adams. That sucks. You just fall out and your schmens is in your pants and you're probably dropping the kids
off. Yeah, but
off.
When you get up, you're still a billionaire.
True,
so
but
I don't feel that bad.
That's again. It's just it's the human moment.
Sure.
Of you're dropping a deuce and you know your pants are down by your ankles and falling out of the bathroom onto the floor because the door I guess didn't lock during the turbulence and you know you probably gotta you know do a little cleanup at aisle U you know in the Grand Canyon and then on top of that
the Great Crevasse
and on top of that your schmens is out for all the world to see unless Bud Adams
put it out on TV yesterday pretty much so.
yeah
unless, mean, same thing
if Bud Adams was packing more than me then you know what maybe he wasn't that ashamed but yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The TV definitely adds a couple inches.
Added 10 pounds.
I'm Irish. There's no way in hell that is as big as it actually looked on TV. Absolutely zero chance. But hell yeah. Someone texted in Paul, the most handsome man in Houston. Shout out to Tony the Handsome. I love that. A texter says, Paul, it's confirmed you're gay. No straight man says I look so hot today. First of all, I will never confirm or deny the rumors. Second of all, you can check out for yourself on YouTube and on Twitch because our camera is up and running here at Typhoon, Texas. For the Wild West Brew Fest. Cougs also playing tonight. Over-under for that game is 132.5, and I'm telling you, slam the under. If I'm wrong, I'm never going to bring it up again. But if I'm right, one, as I always do, I'm going to rub my nips and talk about how I'm the smartest mind in all of Houston sports tomorrow. 80 breweries here, though, 500 beers, all sorts of live music. Tickets are available at wildwestbrewfest.com. Killer Bees are going to be here next as well. Get your weekend started off with a couple of beverages, huh? Sean Mabes back at Mission Control. I know you hate this story, and I'm just going to apologize in advance on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. But I think because we do work for the four-letter network, technically.
Kind of.
Right. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of.
We are ESPN Houston.
We're branded ESPN, but they don't know who we are.
Definitely they don't. I'm not even kidding. I got a text from somebody yesterday who wanted Dell's email. they got a text from like an ESPN producer who wanted Dell's email. I'm not even kidding. I'm like, why? Just text Dell? Like, I'm pretty sure you can. So I'm like a middleman for Bristol.
He's got a phone number in an
Dell.
Email.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe
in social media.
Maybe Dell's off the grid. But
no, he's not off the grid.
Well, I imagine Friday. I don't know. Friday at noon, I would be off the grid if I'm Dell. I'm out of here. I'm just getting out, going home, and checking out until it's Monday morning at 7 in the morning. But I got a push notification yesterday before the show. And it was a push notification to tell me that Stephen A. Smith was about to go on a rant because LeBron James had gone on the Pat McAfee show. And LeBron James on the Pat McAfee show, I mean, had its moments. But one of those moments, and Sean, if you could play this clip for me, we were going to play it yesterday, and we didn't get it. This is LeBron James talking about how excited Stephen A. Smith must be to have all this attention on the Pat McAfee show.
Which leads, obviously, to you and Stephen A. Hey, legit, that feels like a moment that had been brewing for a long time.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're all seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing it as well.
No, it started off with, I didn't want to address it. I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, well, you would be not to talk about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously.
I love LeBron doing that because it's accurate. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but LeBron James, 100% right with describing Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith is really worried about his privacy.
Not at all.
I mean, very worried about he's a private person.
And what's been really funny
to himself.
B-Mac, over the last couple of weeks, what's been so funny is hearing Stephen A. consistently say, like, well, I wasn't going to talk about this, but now
as it
I
goes
have
live
to.
On YouTube.
It's like, no, no. And I like Stephen A. I enjoy him. He tickles me. Not literally, but like, you know.
Don't start more rumors.
Right, exactly. I enjoy Stephen A.'s rants. But I got a push notification because Stephen A. Smith at the beginning of First Take yesterday was going on a rant. This man went on a 15-minute uninterrupted rant to open up First Take.
Hijacked the show.
100% hijacked the show. And I heard, you know, Sean, back in Mission Control, you hate this story, right? Like, this is a story that you're so damn tired of. And I don't blame you because it's dumb.
Yeah, it was a conversation 3 weeks ago now.
Right.
And everyone says they hate NBA coverage, and this seems like the perfect encapsulation of what everyone says they hate. But
yes.
It's the only thing people want to talk about. It's more the, like, I wish people would just stop lying and just say, like, no,
yes.
Actually, we really only care about Stephen A. Smith.
Right. And like, ultimately, it is for some who don't like Stephen A. Smith. LeBron going on the Pat McAfee show. It's a moment where you can kind of say, yeah, F Stephen A. Smith and all the things that he has been doing. Because it's all about Smith's coverage of Bronny. And if this – Stephen A. Smith claims if this camera moment between he and LeBron courtside hadn't happened, that he would not have talked about it. I do not buy that for a second. So on this 15-minute rant, Stephen A. Smith doubled down on calling LeBron a liar. I didn't watch the whole thing because I'm sorry. I have a life. But he doubled down on calling LeBron James a liar. Here's the problem, though. Stephen A. Smith, in the middle of the rant, lied. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the rant, he said that LeBron didn't go to Kobe Bryant's funeral or Kobe Bryant's memorial service, which he did. And to LeBron's credit, because LeBron often makes things about himself much like Stephen A. Smith, LeBron did not want any pictures of him taken at this actual event. For a change, good for LeBron not being all me, 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 you know? And Stephen A. Smith, in this rant, said that he didn't go. But he did. And okay, if you're going to go on a 15-minute rant and go after LeBron, like you can't lie. Especially when it was well reported that LeBron was actually at this thing. And Smith would later clarify he was there, and there was another moment in the show where he had said somebody had died, and he came back and said, wait, this person hasn't died.
Someone got resurrected?
I don't know.
On the third day?
No.
What's going on?
We got a couple of weeks until that, B-Mac.
Okay, all right.
I'm not 100% sure like who he was talking about, but like, Stephen A. is clearly monomaniacally Captain Ahab level focused on this. And at a certain point, I think you got to move on. Like, hey, yeah, you are one of a very few blabbers, journalists, talking heads,
not journalists,
whatever you want to call it. He's one of a few people that actually can get a reaction from players these days. So, hey, that's a feather in your cap. It's been three effing weeks, man. And just because you're jealous that Pat McAfee got to have the one-on-one with LeBron for an hour that a lot of people would kill for, because we never see LeBron in that setting. I thought LeBron was actually likable in said setting, even if I didn't necessarily agree with everything that he said. And he uses the next day, instead of like just talking about, you know, the things he's supposed to, he spent a 15-minute rant talking about this beef that's 3 weeks old, and along the way, he slipped up a couple of times. I feel like, hey, dog, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Like you did something that was big for you. You got your contract extension with ESPN. Can we move back to talking about not yourself? You know, and as someone who talks about myself all the time on the air, like I, every now and then I'm like, okay, I've been doing this a little bit too long. Bring it back. Talk about things that people actually care about. Because most people don't give a damn about me. You just want to hear me talking about sports and all that. And I totally understand that. For Stephen A., dude, it's over. Move on, please. 15-minute rants? ESPN push notification? I want my ESPN push notification for WNBA basketball again. I'd rather get that. And I that's all I ever get. It's like, oh, big trade in the WNBA between the Brooklyn Sky and the Seattle Kittens. Like,
you almost got there.
Yeah, I don't know what the team names are.
I thought
you were
actually going to be able to name two
teams. No, I'm just going out of my way to not remember them. But at the same time, like, hey, I'd rather get that than to get a push notification that Stephen A. is going on a 15-minute rant about something that people stop caring about.
So, yeah, I mean, it's look, I not that I enjoy this, but Stephen A. Smith himself is his brand. Like, he's clearly, obviously, on the back of LeBron, riding the coattails a little bit. I mean, anytime you can be attached to LeBron, it's not only a sports story, it becomes mainstream news. And that's, I think, clearly what Stephen A. Smith's done. So as long as LeBron keeps talking about it, I don't think Stephen A. would have given up already. But going on the Pat McAfee show, not that I blame LeBron, but going on the Pat McAfee show is going to extend the life. Because every time LeBron says something, that extends it for Stephen A. another day, another 2 days. The only way this dies is if LeBron stops talking about it. Not saying that he should shut up and dribble or anything like that, but any time he brings it up, Stephen A. is going to talk about it two more times.
And
it'll never end.
And the funniest thing about all this is that last night, if First Take cared enough to watch and talk about actual on-the-court basketball, you could have ripped LeBron for his terrible last, like, 10 seconds of that game that basically cost the Lakers the game against the Bulls. He was awful. Literally the two plays that they needed to make to get into that game, LeBron sucked. And I'm just going to go ahead and take a guess that they didn't spend 5 minutes talking about it on
first
day.
You're so right. You're so right, Sean. I mean, like, shoot, he had a terrible game before that game winner that he had earlier in the week, too. But the end of that Bulls game, by the way, like, that's been we've been dying for that in March Madness this entire tournament. And we got it with Texas Tech and Arkansas. But holy crap. I mean, to be down 6 points, you get the three. You get the steal in the three. The Lakers score. They take a two-point lead. And then Josh, problematic Giddy, dribbles to half court and just drains a shot from half court. The Bulls are on fire right now, but you're right. LeBron struggled there, and he could have gone after his play and said, like, I'm not even going to respond to it. Like, that's what he should have done. He should have done the, I'm not even going to respond to what LeBron had to say on the Pat McAfee show. Like, he should have done that. And instead, like, I feel like he has a lot of egg on his face to the point where I actually like LeBron. And, I mean, it takes a while. It takes a lot for me to do that. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sean Mapes is back at Mission Control. B-Max hanging out with me here. We're at the Texas Typhoon out in Katy for the greatest event in the history of mankind. That's right, the Wild West Brew Fest. 80 brewers are here, 500 beers are here, live music, topless women? Huh? I'm just kidding. That's not actually happening. That's just something that I want on a Friday, okay? God, Paul, you don't even like women. Fine, topless men. Just kidding. Come out here, though. It's a whole lot of fun at the Wild West Brew Fest.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.